Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our consideration today are the words from Hebrews chapter 13, the first 8 verses. It is written there, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." So far our text, and let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that through them you would set us apart from this world, this darkened world. We pray that you would increase our faith, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is true. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, the January 3rd, 2000 edition of U.S. News and World Report had an article in it that talked about how optimistic America was. Everyone was feeling pretty good about things back at the turn of the year 2000. The tech bubble hadn't burst yet. The Cold War was clearly over. September 11th hadn't happened yet. Everybody was feeling pretty good about America. Fast forward to today. And today, I think it's safe to say that a lot of Americans are feeling pretty anxious about things. We're seeing Russian planes buzzing our ships again. ISIS is on the rise. And of course, you turn on the television these days and it's all that negative campaigning from the election. There's a lot of anxiety among us. 16 years have changed our attitude here in America. In that time, our congregation, for example, has seen its school grow and then fade away. Members have been born and members have died. People who didn't know Christ have heard the word through us and come to believe and become a part of us, while others who had that word have neglected it and fallen asleep. It seems that the only constant in our lives is change. Change all around I see, we sang in our hymn today. We come to see the changes in ourselves and the changes in the world around us as the only constant. And along with that comes a certain profound sadness, I think. There's nowhere where we can stand, it seems, that's solid, something that's going to be there for us. Not in this world. In our youth, change seemed good. Seemed wonderful to finally get that tall. I remember that. But then we find out that getting older never quite brings us to where we thought we would be. New insecurities and new temptations, consciences burdened by the sins of our youth, college or work seem to offer that new hope of maybe a fresh start, a solid landing, but then those feelings of inadequacy, the want for me time, reminded us that we hadn't really arrived. Things had just changed once again. Medical problems arise in our lives, and we realize that life is getting shorter with every passing moment. But through all this, through all these changes in the world and our lives, there has been one constant, whether we knew it or not. And our writer writes about that in the last sentence of our verses today. He writes about that singular human being who is also truly our God, the unchanged and unchanging one, Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so today we're going to focus our attention on those three time periods in our sermon. We're going to focus our attention on him and rejoice that there is nothing new with him. That's a good thing. Consider yesterday, and by yesterday I mean the past. Think about what's happened. Yesterday is our Christian heritage. Yesterday is history. Yesterday is his story. The book of Job is probably the oldest text that I've ever personally studied. It was probably written around the time of Abraham, about 2,000 years before Christ. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that I will see him in my flesh. I am not another. We sing those words at Easter time. This is part of our Christian heritage. Think of how old that is. We sing it and we rejoice that Job once found comfort in the promise of the Redeemer, the promise of the Messiah that had been given to Adam and Eve all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Moses was given the privilege by prophecy to write down what had happened then, to tell us of God's perfect creation and how our first parents, Adam and Eve, how they made a faithful decision to leave behind the image of their Creator, to strike out on their own. And in that moment, they cut the anchor line to the truth. And they set our whole race adrift in these changes. In that moment, besides the terrible self-curse that they brought upon themselves, besides death, God explained something to them. He made a promise right in front of them to the deceiver, to Satan. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the promise of the Redeemer for mankind. The first promise that God himself would become a part of our race through the Virgin to deal with all the lies and willful rebellion against God. The patriarchs, both before the flood and after, they bore witness to this promise to every generation. The old world was destroyed by the flood, but that promise never changed. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob descended from Noah. And they, from them descended Israel. And they were heirs of the promise. And they kept that promise before themselves for 2,000 years. The Sumerian Empire rose and fell. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, all these great empires and countless other civilizations during that time rose from the dust and fell back into the dust. And through all of that, God fulfilled his promise to send the Redeemer to us. The apostles and the early church, they witnessed this. They saw God fulfill his promise when Jesus was born, when Jesus spoke the word and preached to the people of Israel the real gospel, the truth that yes, we are sinners, but yes, God's love is even greater than our sin. He preached that truth with power and authority. And the apostles in the early church took that message and they spread it to all the world. They spoke and testified even before kings that Christ was not just another human being, that he wasn't just a great teacher. Certainly was, but he was much more than that. They testified to the truth that Jesus was in fact God. God in the flesh. God who in his own heart had decided to undo the curse that we brought upon ourselves in Eden. To undo the effect of sin. To undo death. And to overcome that rascal who deceived Eve and Adam. And they went out. And they preached in all the world. And they baptized. And when the Roman Empire fell, it didn't change the message. It didn't change the promise. It didn't change the gospel. That message thrived in Gaul, in Germany, in France, and in Britain. Until such time that our forefathers came to know it in Germany. And later in Denmark, and Norway, and Sweden, and Finland. That was 500 years ago, almost to the year. We're preparing to celebrate that, you know. 100 years ago, those immigrants from Germany and Norway who had come in the 1850s, they said no to changing what God had said. They said no to the idea that we can just ignore what the Lord has said. 100 years ago, our synod was formed in this great land of America. God did all of that for you. So that you could hear his loving invitation to eternity. So that you would know that he loves you and he forgives you all your sins for the sake of Jesus Christ. He brought that message through all those thousands of years to this place out in the middle of the Arizona desert. This unbroken history that the author of the book of Hebrews wants you and me to know. The truth, unchanged and unchanging. Yes, yesterday is our Christian Heritage Fellow Reunion. It's a treasure of thoughts, of truth, a treasure house of hymns that have withstood all the changes around them because they weren't founded on fickle cultures and faddish music, but instead upon the Word of God that doesn't change. Upon that humble and glorious Creator and King. Oh, that we would see what a treasure we have in all these old things that we're surrounded with this morning. They're better than gold. They're more unchanging than the hardest ruby. And they're so delightful because they keep proclaiming to you the truth. You have a redeemer. You have one who has bought you back at the price of his own precious blood. You have one who rose from the dead and who has connected himself to you so that you too will rise on that last day. You are God's own dear child. You're his precious one. So precious that he gave all to have you. That's your heritage, fellow redeemed. And that heritage makes today our opportunity with Christ. Today I hope you will see that you're part of something that's far grander than man could ever have imagined. You're like Job, like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob, like Moses and the apostles, like the church fathers, Irenaeus and Chrysostom and Augustine, like Luther and our Norwegian church father, Corin, and the German, Haneke and Walther. You are real people like these people. God's people. And you are a heritage for future generations. You are part of God's people, living in God's grace today. That's why the writer to the Hebrews reminds us to let brotherly love continue. Now notice he doesn't just say generic love here. That's assumed to be the case for us Christians. We're even to be hospitable to strangers. But here he speaks about love specifically for fellow believers. We Christians live in perilous times. Maybe you've noticed that. Christians are imprisoned in places in this world. Many are mistreated. Some are even beheaded. And the message that we have must not be squelched. Though we're often persecuted. Though the message is often thought of as just so much drivel. Unimportant. You, along with St. Paul, know that it's the very power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. You know that through hearing the word of God comes faith. That's the same reason why the writer reminds us of how important it is for us to care for ourselves. Not in that self-serving way of the world, not to get ahead, but we're reminded to care for our marriages so that we do not come upon the rocks of a broken marriage. We're reminded to pay attention to our attitude toward money, toward the stuff that we have. This whole world is awash in the tide of greed. And all this so that we can point to that most important truth. So that we in ourselves know the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. We're to remember our spiritual leaders, the writer says. Remember them in our prayers. Remember to support them with our words and our efforts and our actions and our gifts so that they can continue to carry out their duty to preach the word. So that we have leaders to speak to us the word of God. So that we have people to look to faith and imitate in their repentance and in their piety and in their good works. Today's a good day to begin thinking about the heritage that you have here at Our Savior. To think about the heritage that we have and the work that we get to participate in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, our church body. Right now, people across this globe are hearing the word of God in church services that may not look exactly like this. Down in Chile, or over in Korea or India, people are hearing the message of Christ, that same message that's been heard throughout history, because you are supporting this work. Today, there's 500,000 people who are confessing the fullness of this message and the blessed promise of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Members of the Confessional Evangelical Lutheran Conference. And today, you can support them with your efforts, with your prayers. You can give them your time and your energy and your offerings to support that important work. Think of the promised inheritance that we have. Christ has made us to be immortal. We shall not die. He has promised that we shall see Him face to face in life eternal. He has promised that while we are here on earth, He will always be with us and that we need not fear ever. That He will always hear our prayers. That He will always answer them in such a subtle way, with such divine wisdom, that everything will turn out for our good. So what could be so significant here on earth that we would not gladly part with it if the need be? Think about those who do not have our heritage, who live under some previous generation's choice to leave behind God's word and His promises. God has placed you here, this day, in this time, in this place, to make some difference in someone's life, maybe in many people's lives. You're part of that age-old chain of believers that goes back through the time of the apostles, through the prophets, through the Old Testament patriarchs, all the way back to that first promise of God. Think about that when you consider how you're going to use your time and your talents and your energy and your money and even your life. Think about that. Precious gift that we have from the beginning, from Eden. Think about that. Especially as we enter into this festival year, when we begin to think about those 500 years of God's grace and His Word that He's given to us since the Reformation. The 100 years that He has given in our ELS. Think about the nearly 40 years He has given this congregation in this place. May God grant that His Word would change our hearts and make use of us to be messengers of His unfailing love for mankind. And may He take us by means of His forgiveness from the constant change that's all around us, from the tumult of this world, and into the unchanging and settled peace of His kingdom. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life.